Now, Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we give you praise, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take a seat. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, that is being a Jew, nor uncircumcision, that is being a Gentile, avails anything, that is, it doesn't matter, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, that rule of the new creation, in which being neither Jew nor Gentile avails anything, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the rule of God. Amen. Okay, God wants the word, the fourth part. You find here that Paul calls the church the rule of God. Now we said that comes with a blessing and a responsibility, a blessing of justification by faith, responsibility to arouse that righteousness. So we've been looking at how we as the new rule of God carry out this task today. Now so far we've looked at missions in the epistles. So far we've seen the books of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Then we proceeded into what is known as the pastoral epistles. Now these consist of 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Now we've seen them so far. Then we departed from the Pauline epistles and moved into the general epistles. Now these consist of the epistles written by the writer of Hebrews, James, Peter, John, and Jude. Now we just concluded with the book of Hebrews. Now today we move quickly into James and Peter, beginning with the book of James. Okay, so James 1:1, please turn there quickly. James chapter 1 verse 1. Now when James speaking here, it says, James, a born servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? James, a born servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Now, we want to look at that phrase, born servant. That is the emphasis here. But you know, we've explained this term already, the lowest, right? So you may write here, for use of the term born servant, see explanation on Romans 1:1. Okay, so that we do not belabor that point. Then next here, so this will be a new subheading for you, okay? A new subheading, James chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. James 5, 19 to 20. Now James says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, underline that, someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. Underline that, save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Underline from cover to sins. Now, James speaks here of helping someone who has wandered from the truth. Now, the truth is the gospel. James 1:18 says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Underline that, the word of truth. Okay, or the message of truth. Underline that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. See Galatians 2:5, similarly there. Galatians 2:5. It says, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Look at verse 14 of that same chapter, Galatians 2:14. It says, but when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, you may underline that, the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? See Galatians 3:1. It says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. Underline the truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Galatians 5:7. Galatians 5:7 says, you ran well, who hindered you from obeying the truth. Underline that, obeying the truth. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13. It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Underline that, the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. 1 Peter 1 verse 22. It says, since you've purified your souls in obeying the truth, underline that, obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Okay, now where someone turns the wanderer back to the truth, that is the gospel, he has saved a sinner from the error of his way. James 5:20. Now he hasn't saved him in the sense of being his savior. Okay, now only Christ is savior. Luke 2:11. Let's see that quickly. Luke 2:11. It says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a savior. Underline that, a savior who is Christ the Lord. Acts 5:30. Acts 5:30 says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to the right hand to be prince and savior, underline, and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 5:23. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior, underline that, the savior of the body. Titus 1:4. He says to Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Underline that, our Savior. Titus 3:6. Titus 3:6. It says, whom he poured out abundantly in us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Underline that, our Savior. So the one who helps the wanderer is not a Savior. Okay, in the sense that Christ is Savior, but he is the instrument through which he receives salvation by preaching to him that he repent. Now such a one will save a soul from death, that is destruction, and cover a multitude of sins. James 5:20. Now to cover sins is Old Testament verbiage. Okay, it means to pardon it. Psalm 32:1. Psalm 32:1. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Underline covered, okay? So, Christians should be the means through which others repent and are saved from destructive error. That's what James says here. Is that clear? So, now let's move on quickly to 1 Peter. Alright? 1 Peter now. Now, first subheading here. 1 Peter 1:22-25. 1 Peter 1:22-25. Now here, Peter explains the results or benefits of believing the gospel. Verse 22 says, 1 Peter 1:22. It says, since you've purified your souls in obeying the truth, underline that, obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Underline that, with a pure heart. Now, to obey the truth is to believe the gospel. Okay? To obey the truth is to believe the gospel. Now, that word obeying, verse 22, translates the Greek hupakoi, H-U-P-A-K-O-E, the last E accentuated, which means to respond to. Okay? To respond to, submit to, comply with. It describes faith. Now, faith purifies the heart. Acts 15:9. Acts 15:9. It says, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Underline from purifying to faith. Now, the one who believes is born again by the word of God. Verse 23 says, 1 Peter 1, back there again. Verse 23, it says, having been born again. Underline that, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God. Underline that, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, to be born again is to be regenerate. Okay? Anaginao in the Greek. A-N-A-G-E-N-N-A-O. The last O accentuated. It refers to a new birth. Now, the agent of this regeneration or this new birth is God's word, okay, which abides forever. Therefore, the gospel may be said to be an antithesis of the law. While the law kills, 2 Corinthians 3:6, the gospel bestows life. Hallelujah. It quickens from the dead. Ephesians 2:4. Let's see that. Ephesians 2:4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. On the line from made to Christ, by grace you have been saved and raised us up together. On the line from raised together and made us sit together in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. Peter then appeals to scripture in verses 24 to 25. 1 Peter 1, back there again, verses 24 to 25. It says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of the grass. Now the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now quoting here Isaiah 40:6-8. Now the verse continues, now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And you find here that man is compared to grass, right? Because he is mortal, inherently subject to death. See Isaiah 64:6. Isaiah 64:6. It says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, underline that, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The Psalms say similarly, Psalm 103:15. Psalm 103:15. It says, as for man, his days are like grass. Underline that, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so it flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone. Underline from it to gone, and its place remembers it no more. See Psalm 90:5. It says, you carry them away like a flood, they are like a sleep. And the morning day, that is man, are like grass which grows up. On life from day to up, in the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. On the life from it to withers. Now James also likened man to grass in his epistle. James 1:9-11. Let's see that. James 1:9-11. It says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as the flower of the field it will pass away. On the line from us to away, for no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes, so the rich man also will fade away. On the line that will fade away in his pursuits. So the point is this, man in all of his glory is transient. He won't last forever or exist forever, but God's word lasts forever. Okay, now it is this word which is preached, believed upon, and which regenerates. Now the effects are therefore long-lasting, eternal life for all who believe. Now see 1 Peter 2:6-8 as we close. 1 Peter 2:6-8. So this will be another subheading for you. Now here Peter speaks of the Jews' rejection of the gospel. Okay, their rejection of the gospel, the Jewish people. Now verse 6 says, 1 Peter 2, therefore it is also contained in the scripture. Now look at this. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Now Peter quotes from Isaiah 28:16 here. Now this chief cornerstone is Jesus. Okay, I know that today the Jewish rabbis have attempted to say that it is Ezekiah, okay, in opposition to Christianity, but that is not the case. Okay, the chief cornerstone is Jesus. You see that Peter had explained this earlier in verses 4-5. Okay, let's see that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. It says, coming to him, that is Jesus, as to a living stone. Do you see that? Unlike from coming to stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Underline that. through Jesus Christ. Now, this cornerstone is to be believed upon for salvation. Okay? It was the Lord Himself who set this cornerstone, not man. See Psalm 118 verse 22. The Lord Himself set this cornerstone, not man. Psalm 118 verse 22. It says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. You see that? 23 says, this was the Lord's doing. Underline that, the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now, he who believes in him will not be ashamed or confounded. Verse 6 says, now verse 7 says, first Peter 2 back there again. It says, therefore, to you believe is precious, but to those who are disobedient, do you see that? Underline those who are disobedient, the stones which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Do you see that? Quoting Psalm 118, verse 22. Now, to those who believe, Christ is precious. Alright? They've reckoned him in honor. But to the unbelieving, he remains the stone which the builders rejected. Do you follow that? Who has now become the chief cornerstone. Psalm 118, verse 22. Now, an imagery from architecture is borrowed here. That is, the less desirable stone is now that upon which the entire building rests on. Okay? Now, interestingly, the original text, Psalm 118, verse 22, speaks of the Jews. Are you following that? That speaks of the Jews. The Jews were those rejected stone. Do you follow that? They were the ones meant to suffer, remember, and be rejected by the nations of the world, right? The Babylonians and the Persians, in bringing men to God. But because they failed in that role, that task, now that role is now occupied by Christ. Do you follow that? God through Israel. God Ibed Yahweh. Do you follow that? God through Israel. Now, ironically, the builders are now the Jewish people. Do you follow that? The rejected stone was supposed to be Israel, but instead they are now the builders that reject Christ. You see that Peter says as much in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, as we close. Are you following this so far? Okay, Acts 4, verse 8. Please turn there. Acts 4, 8. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to an helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you all. Look at 11. This is the stone. Do you see that? Which was rejected by you builders. Do you see that? Online from which to builders, that is the Jews. Okay, which has now become the chief cornerstone. Underline that, become the chief cornerstone, quoting Psalm 118, verse 22. Now, is there salvation in any other? For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, Peter appeals to scripture again in verse 8. First Peter to back there again. Peter appeals to scripture again in verse 8. First Peter 2. Are you there? It says, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Isaiah 8:14. Okay, he quotes from there. Isaiah 8:14. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. Now the Jews, refusing to submit to God's righteousness, stumble on what was supposed to be their foundation. You find that Paul had spoken about this in Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Let's see that. Okay? They stumbled on what was supposed to be their foundation. Paul has spoken about this in Romans chapter 9, verse 30. He says, what shall we say then? The Gentiles who do not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. In line from hearts to righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, or the line from day to stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will by no means be put to shame. Now, Paul says similarly in the next chapter, Romans 10, 3-4, he says, for they, that is Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness, on the line from being to righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, underline from seeking to righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, by stumbling in unbelief, the Jews will also face destruction. Okay? The consequence of their sins. So, they are disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. Verse 8 says, that is, they have not put faith in Christ, even though the gospel came to them first. Acts 13, verse 26. Let's see that. Acts 13, verse 26. It says, men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you, underline that, to you, the word of this salvation has been sent. So it came to the Jews first. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you, that is, the Jews first. Underline from that to first, but since you reject it, underline from sins to it, and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, return to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have commanded you as a light to the Gentiles, that it should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Quoting here Isaiah 49 verse 6. Now their rejection of the gospel would ultimately lead to their perishing while the Gentiles are saved. Now next subheading here as we close. 1 Peter 2:11. As we close. 1 Peter 2:11. It says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. Underline sojourners, underline pilgrims. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Now those words sojourners and pilgrims are very key. Are you following that? Very key. Now that word sojourners translates the Greek paroikos. P-A-R-O-I-K-O-U-S. P-A-R-O-I-K-O-U-S, which refers to aliens, temporary dwellers moving from place to place. Now that word pilgrims translates the Greek parapidemos, P-A-R-E-P-I-D-E-M-O-U-S. Now the E after D, accentuated, it refers to those without a house or city. Okay? Those without a house or city. Now, this was both literal and figurative. Okay? It was both literal and figurative. Now, it was literal because those that Peter wrote to were expatriates. Okay? They had been driven from their homes due to persecution. So, they were literal aliens. Do you follow that? And sojourners. You may see 1 Peter 1:1 for that. But it is also figurative because it points to the set apartedness of Christians. We are in this world, but not of this world. John chapter 17 verse 15. Jesus speaking there to 16. John 17, 15 to 16. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Do you see that? So we're in this world, right? Okay. But that you should keep them from the evil one. Now look at this 16. They are not of the world. Underline that. From day to world, just as I am not of the world. So we can say that we are aliens or pilgrims in this world. We are not of this world. We are separate, set apart from it. Now you know this clearly shows that we are the New Testament Israel, right? Because just like Israel roamed about, okay, in the Old Testament, in the wilderness, for several years, right? Now, we also roam the earth making the gospel known. Do you get it now? Okay, so we are separate from the world. It's sinfulness. You know, Israel in that wilderness was separate from the nations, right? So the same applies to the church. We are separate from the world. It's sinfulness, its ideologies, its beliefs, yet we influence it. Okay, with the gospel. Now this is what Israel was supposed to be doing as she moved from place to place, which we now do as God's New Testament Israel. Did you learn? All right, lift your hands, give him praise, thank him.